Right. So picture this. You're just walking through a park, right? And maybe having lunch outside on a nice day.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you see this giant monument, the Ten Commandments. Is that even allowed?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And that's kind of the question we're going to be tackling today as we do a deep dive into Van Orden v. Perry, a 2005 Supreme Court case that
Right.
really gets into, like, how much religion is too much in a public space.
Right. And I think what's so fascinating about this case is it's not about like banning religion altogether.
Right.
It's about figuring out that balance. You know, we want to recognize how much religion has influenced our history, but we also have to make sure that the government isn't saying like this one belief is better than another.
Okay, so let's set the scene. It's 1961 in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
The Fraternal Order of Eagles, they donate this Ten Commandments monument, and it's going to go on the state capitol grounds. Now, at the time, it's just one of many, historical markers around. It kind of blends in.
Right.
No one's really making a big deal about it.
Right.
But fast forward to 2001,
Okay.
and we have a lawyer, Thomas Van Orden, who walks through these capitol grounds pretty often. He files a lawsuit and says, hey, this monument, it's violating the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Specifically, he's talking about the Establishment Clause,
Right.
which basically says the government can't make an official religion.
Yeah, like no state-sponsored religion.
Exactly.
Right.
So the lower courts, they actually sided with Texas. They're like, nah, this is just part of the historical landscape, you know?
Right.
It's not forcing anyone to pray or anything.
It's just kind of there.
Yeah. But then it goes up to the Supreme Court.
Of course.
And that's where things get really interesting.
That's where the fireworks start.
It was a 5-4 decision.
Okay.
Super divided.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they said the monument could stay, but there wasn't like a super clear majority opinion.
So not everyone agreed on the reasoning, but they came to the same outcome.
Right, exactly. And this case, it's a big one. I think it really shows how around that time, the court was kind of changing how they thought about these types of issues. Like they were moving away from this strict separation of church and state. Like you can't have anything religious anywhere near government.
Right.
And they were starting to look more at, like, okay, what's the context? What's the history? What's going on with this specific display?
Yeah, like the context matters.
Totally. And if we really want to understand what happened here, we got to understand what these different opinions were saying. So Chief Justice Rehnquist, he's leading the justices who voted to keep the monument.
Okay.
And he argued that, well, the Ten Commandments are part of our nation's heritage. He even pointed out that they're like displayed in the Supreme Court courtroom itself.
Oh, interesting.
He emphasized that this monument was like passive. It's not like it was out there preaching to people or trying to convert them. And we have to think about, the history, the tradition behind it.
Yeah.
He was kind of suggesting that maybe those old tests, like the Lemon Test that we use for the Establishment Clause, maybe those aren't the only things that matter.
Yeah, like maybe they're not enough anymore.
Yeah, and that's where it gets more complicated
Okay.
because you have Justices Scalia and Thomas,
Uh-huh.
and they're concurring. They agree with the outcome. They're saying the monument can stay.
Okay.
But they take it even further. They're
Okay.
like, maybe it's not a bad thing for the government to kind of show a preference for religion in general.
Wow.
They pointed to things like, legislative prayers and stuff as evidence that, like, yeah, we've been doing this forever. It's okay for the government to acknowledge religion.
Right.
But it was really Justice Breyer who was the swing vote in this whole thing.
Okay.
And his opinion, it's fascinating because he was basically saying it was really, really close. Like he went back and forth. But what tipped the scales for him was that this monument had been there for 40 years without causing a big uproar.
Like no one was really complaining about it all that time.
Right. And so he thought, okay, maybe people see this more as like a historical marker than an actual religious statement.
I see.
So his opinion really shows how important context is, right? The monument was just one piece of a larger collection, and that seemingly secular setting, it made a difference to him.
Yeah, I see.
So we have this group of justices who think, for these different reasons, the monument can stay.
Okay.
But we can't forget about the dissenting opinions.
Yeah, what about those? Let's hear it.
They have some strong arguments, too.
Okay. Yeah, so let's really get into those dissenting opinions because they bring up some really key points about religious displays.
Yeah.
And these points are like just as important today as they were back in 2005.
Right. It's
Yeah.
easy to just focus on like the winning
You're
side,
right.
but those dissenting voices, they're so important. They really make you think about the other side of things. you know, even if something seems fine at first glance.
Right, those unintended consequences.
Exactly. So Justice Stevens, he wrote the main dissenting opinion, and he did not hold back.
Oh, he was fired up.
Yeah, he was like, look, the Ten Commandments, they're totally religious, no way around it.
Yeah.
To him, you couldn't separate their spiritual meaning from any historical or cultural stuff.
Right.
And putting them up on government property, especially like the state capitol, that was like a big no-no.
Yeah, like the government's taking sides.
Yeah. Texas was endorsing specific religious beliefs.
Right.
And what's interesting, Van Orden v. Perry was actually decided on the same day as another Ten Commandments case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was McCreary County v. ACLU.
Okay.
And that one was about like similar displays in Kentucky courthouses.
Okay.
And in that case, the court said, no, you can't have them.
Oh, wow. So they ruled differently.
Yeah. And Stevens was like, what are we doing here? This is so confusing.
Yeah. Like, what's the standard?
Right. He's like, are we just going to pick and choose which Ten Commandments monuments are okay based on like where they are?
Right. That seems arbitrary.
Yeah. He worried that Van Orden would be like, you know, opening the floodgates.
Oh, like a slippery slope.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Now all of a sudden we're going to have religious displays all over public property, and that's going to weaken the separation of church and state.
And it brings up the question of like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, if a Ten Commandments monument is okay because it's historical, well, what's stopping every other religion from saying, oh, this is our historical monument we want to put it up to?
Right. It opens up a whole can of worms.
Right. And then Stevens, he was also really concerned about the impact on people who don't follow the Ten Commandments.
Right. That makes sense.
You know, maybe they're from different faiths. Maybe they're not religious at all.
Uh-huh.
He argued that this monument could make them feel like they don't belong.
Like they're outsiders.
Yeah, like their beliefs aren't welcome.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's something I think a lot of people can relate to, right? Like, okay, who gets to decide what's American, what values we're going to display in public spaces?
Yeah, those are big questions.
So then we have Justice Souter. He also wrote a dissent.
Okay, what did he have to say?
He kind of took a different approach.
Okay.
He focused on the actual text of the Ten Commandments, and he's like, hold on, these aren't just like general be a good person guidelines.
Right.
They're full of religious stuff that not everyone believes in.
Yeah, like specific doctrines.
Right, and so even if the monument was surrounded by other historical markers, Souter's like, that doesn't change anything. It's still the government taking a side.
Right, like in a theological debate.
Yeah, and they're not supposed to do that.
No, that's not their role.
And remember how some people argued that the monument had been there for 40 years and nobody cared?
Yeah, like it's been fine all this time.
Right, well, Souter was like, so what? Age doesn't make it constitutional.
Right, that's not a valid argument.
You can't just ignore the Constitution because something's old.
Right, I like that.
And finally, we have Justice O'Connor.
Okay.
Often the swing vote, right?
Yeah, she was the deciding vote in a lot of cases.
She joined Souter's dissent.
Okay.
And she really emphasized that even if something seems passive, like a monument, it can still have a big impact.
Right, especially coming from the government.
Yeah, she was really big on government neutrality when it came to religion.
Okay.
And she argued that even if Texas didn't mean to endorse the Ten Commandments, just having them up there could make people think that they were endorsing them.
Right? The perception matters.
Exactly. And that was a problem in itself. So her point was, like, the government has to be super careful to not even look like they're favoring one religion.
Right. Or religion over non-religion.
Right. It's all about making sure everyone feels welcome.
Like they belong.
Yeah. Regardless of what they believe.
I think that's a really important takeaway.
Yeah. And O'Connor's dissent, it feels so relevant today.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Well, we're always having these debates about religious displays, right? Like holiday decorations or symbols in government buildings.
Yeah, those can be tricky.
And that idea of perception of endorsement is really helpful.
Yeah, it's a good lens to look through.
So we have this case with these really strong arguments on both sides.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Justices are super passionate about their positions.
Right.
How do we make sense of it all?
Yeah, that's a challenge.
That's a constitutional law, right? It's not always easy.
Right.
It's complicated. You have to weigh different values.
Right.
Maybe there isn't one right answer.
Right. It's about interpretation.
And Van Orden v. Perry, it's a perfect example of that.
Yeah. It's a classic case for a reason.
It's still sparking debate today.
Absolutely.
And as we'll talk about in part three, it's had a huge impact on how we approach this whole thing, religion and public life.
Right. It set a precedent.
It really did.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Okay. So we've talked about all the different opinions in Van Orden v. Perry. But I'm thinking, you know, what about the bigger picture? What's happened since that?
Right.
How has this case changed how we think about religion in public spaces?
Well, you know what's really interesting about Van Orden?
Yeah.
Is it didn't really give us a clear test or like a set of rules
right.
for how to figure out if a religious display is okay or not.
Hmm.
It was more about, you know, look at the specific context, the history, how people see the display.
Yeah, like the lemon test went out the window.
Yeah, kind of, at least for these cases. And that makes things a lot more complex, especially for us in the legal world.
Right. It's not just about like memorizing a rule.
Yeah.
You really have to think about each situation.
Right. Exactly. So since that ruling, lower courts have been kind of all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, we've seen a mix of outcomes. Some courts really focus on the historical context argument. So they'll uphold a religious display if it's been around for a while, even if it's, you know, pretty obviously religious.
Mm-hmm.
But then other courts are much stricter. They're like, nope, the government can't be seen as endorsing a specific religion.
So it really depends on the judge.
It does. It really does. So let's say you're a lawyer and your client wants to donate a religious statue to a city park.
Okay, yeah.
How do you even begin to advise them after Van Orden?
Yeah, what do you even tell them?
Well, I think the first thing is there's no guarantee. Like, any legal challenge could go either way.
So it's kind of gamble.
Kind of, but we can try to make things a little more predictable.
Okay.
I would tell my client to think about the context. Like, will this statue be part of a bigger display with different themes?
Right.
Does it have a historical connection to the community?
Yeah.
And is the main goal here to make the park look nicer, or is it to promote a specific religion?
Yeah, it all goes back to intent and context.
It really does.
But what about that idea of exclusion we talked about before? How do you make sure that a religious display doesn't make people of other faiths,
yeah,
or people who aren't religious at all, feel like they don't belong?
That's huge. And it's something I'd talk to my client about right away.
Okay.
I'd want them to think about how people who don't share their beliefs might see that statue.
Hmm.
Like, can we make it more inclusive?
Yeah, how would you do that?
Maybe you include other elements that reflect the diversity of the community.
Right.
Or you focus on the statue's historical or artistic value instead of just the religious part.
So navigating this area of law, it takes a lot of nuance, right?
It does. It takes a lot of careful thought. And you have to be sensitive to everyone's perspectives. And you have to stay up to date on how the courts are handling these issues because it's a conversation that's still going on.
Right. Like Van Orden was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still relevant.
It is. And it shows that the law is constantly evolving. And for everyone listening, especially law students or new lawyers, you know, Van Orden v. Perry is more than just a case you study for an exam.
Right.
It really shows you that the law is always changing, and it's up to all of us to keep learning.
Yeah.
To understand the finer points and use what we know to make sure that everyone is treated fairly and equally under the law.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good reminder that our job as lawyers isn't just about, like, winning.
Right.
It's about helping create a society where everyone feels respected and protected no matter what they believe.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting because this area of the law, it's not just about legal arguments. It's about these big, important questions about our society and, you know, what role religion should play.
Yeah, it gets at the heart of things.
And the freedoms we care about most.
Yeah, exactly.
It really makes you think.
It does. It's humbling, too, you know, to realize that there aren't always easy answers.
Right.
And that our job is about so much more than just winning a case.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up our deep dive into Van Orden v. Perry.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Hopefully everyone listening found this informative and got you thinking a little bit.
Absolutely. And remember, the law is always changing, so stay engaged, keep learning, and use your knowledge to make a difference.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.